Parshas Mishpatim, we want to continue. It's been a while since we studied the Sefer Vigadata, and today we want to focus on what's called Os Achas V'Olam Mole, the significance of one letter. The Mishnah at the beginning of the sixth parak of Avos says that if you learn from someone even a parak, even one single halacha, one pasuk, afilu os achas, even one letter, is you have to be noe kavod in such a person. What is this os achas? I mean, what limud, what are you learning from one letter? And if you look in Rabbeinu Yonah, in his super commentary on Avos, he brings a sugya in Shabbos daf ayin zayin to illustrate this Gemara about Os Achas. The Gemara has a back and forth about how to pronounce certain words, whether it's gmiya or gmiya. Gmiya is with an aleph, gmiya with an ayin. There's gar'inin with an aleph, gar'inin with an ayin. And with regard to coals that are weakening, that are going out, there's something called Gecholim Omimos with an Aleph. There's Omimos with an Ayin. He gives another example from the Gemara, Ma'amtsin, or Ma'amtsin, Ma'amtsin with an Aleph, Ma'amtsin with an Ayin. All these distinguishing marks between one word and another, which have two different meanings, are one letter. They boil down to one letter. But nevertheless, in all those cases, when we're talking about a word, and it might be spelled this way, it might be spelled that way, and the difference is one letter, there's no nafgamina la'alocha. However, there's a famous statement in the name of the Gra, who explains that there's a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim where a one single letter difference makes a nafgamina la'alocha. The Torah says, V'chi yiftach ish bar, o chi yikre ish bar, v'lo yichasenu. The word bar at the beginning of the pasuk, with regard to psicha, which means the bar was already dug, it was covered, but you uncovered it. And yet the word bar at the end of the pasuk, ki yikre, about someone who dug a bar, is written without a vav. So bar is either beis, vav, reish, or Beis Reish. The first one is Mole, the second one is Chaser. And the Gaon says that this distinction is relevant to a halacha in the Gemara Bava Metzia, Gemara Bava Kama. The Gemara asks about the following situation. Supposing if the Torah says, Ki Yiftach, you're chayev, even though you didn't dig the bar, but you just simply exposed the bar, why then did the Torah have to go ahead and teach us ki yichre ish bar, where he actually created the bar, he dug it? We could understand that if you chayv for psicha, you chayv for kriya. I mean, kriya includes within it psicha. So the Gemara answers that there's a case called kore achar kore, which means Reuven digs a bar, and then Shimon deepens the same bar. For example, let's say Reuven dug 9 tvachim. The law is that if a shor, an animal, a shor chamor, dies in that bar, which is only 9 tvachim, then the koreh who dug the bar is potter, because you need a bar of yud tvachim, which is darkei lahamis. However, now that you have Reuven's bar of 9 tefachim, Shimon comes along and he expands, he deepens the bar by one extra tefach. Shimon is chayev. If that be the case, says the Gaon, this is all alluded to in the pasuk itself. Ki yichre ish bar without a vav, chaser. Meaning, chaser means he didn't really dig the bar. The bar was missing one tefach. He dug that one single tefach, taking the bar without the vav, then adding the vav to it, so to speak, to be mashlim the bar to yud tfachin. In the case of kisui, where you remove the covering over the bar, that's called kiyiftach. The only possibility for you being chayev as a poseach, when you remove the covering, that's only if the bar was already a minimum of 10 tfachin deep. So the poseach is poseach a bar that's mole with a vav in it, it's already yud tfachin. But truth be told, when we go back to the first letter of Parshas Mishpatim, we already begin to be amazed at the significance of one letter. On the pasuk v'yela mishpatim asher tasim lifteim, the extra vav v'yela, Rashi writes kol makom shenemar ela pasal es rishonos. The word ela comes as a mafsik to separate between what's coming up the pipeline and what came before. But ve'ela with a vav and these is mosif al rishonos. It's an extension of what came earlier. And Rashi interprets it thusly. Ma rishonim misinai, af elu misinai. We had the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Yisro that were given at Har Sinai, and now Ve'elu Mishpatim, the Torah wants to tell you Ve'elu, these were also given at Har Sinai. And if you look in the Rav, in the Bar Tanura, in his book Amar Nikkei, he asks the following question: who needs that vav to teach me that everything was Misinai? We've already derived this from a pasuk in Vayikra Chaf Hey at the beginning of Parshas Shemitah. The Torah opens up the mitzvah of Shemitah by writing Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe bar Sinai leimar, and Rashi, quoting the Torah's Kohanim, says Ma inyan Shemitah etzal Har Sinai. What is the mitzvah of Shemitah connected to Har Sinai? V'alo kol ha-mitzvos nemru mi-Sinai. You didn't have to single out Shemitah to tell you Har Sinai. All the mitzvahs were given Har Sinai. Ela ma Shemitah nemru kloloseha v'dikdukeha mi-Sinai. Since the Torah here in Parshas Bahar says V'idaber Hashem al Moshe Bahar Sinai, meaning that Shemitah was given with all its general rules and its specific rules at Har Sinai, Af Kulam Nemru Mi Sinai. So it's clear that the Torah went out of its way to teach us that everything, all of the mitzvahs, B'kol Yoseim, B'Digdukeim, B'Prateim, were all given at Har Sinai. Why then does Rashi, quoting Chazal, feel the need for Ve'ele, the extra vav, to teach us Mosif Alinyan Rishon, and these were also given at Har Sinai? And the answer is that Shemitah, the Torah says, Vishav Saharet Shabbos Lashem, which means Lashem Hashem, is a mitzvah bein Adam leMakom. Just as we find with regard to Shabbos, Beini uvein bnei Yisrael osi liolam, Shabbos hi lashem b'chol moshvoseichem, that Shabbos is a classical case of a mitzvah bein Adam leMakom, it's Shabbos hi lashem, so too, Shemitah is Shabbos lashem, it's bein Adam leMakom. And one could have, heaven forbid, have thought that when we get to mitzvahs bein Adam leMakom, clearly they're all from Sinai. What would be the other alternative? There's no other source from whence we could derive the mitzvahs bein Adam leMakom. And therefore, Shemitah as a classical case of bein Adam leMakom teaches me that just like Shemitah beklolo ubeprato, all of the details were given at our Sinai, that's true for all mitzvahs bein Adam leMakom. However, one might think that with regard to mitzvot bein Adam lechavero, which are the rational, logical mitzvot of ethics, in which the Chazal say about which Chazal say derech eretz kodma laTorah, these logical, ethical rules, which have a universal attraction to them, this is before the Torah. and therefore perhaps the source and the root of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, which is all of Parshas Mishpatim, just about, is because it's a logical, rational mitzvah. It's sichlius, it's derived from logic. And the source is not the Torah. And now with this one letter V'Ela, we learn something very important. All the dinim of Mishpatim, Avadim, Nezikin, Shomrim, all the dinim that we call Derech Eretz, the Mishpatim, which are financial, logical, are being given here in Parshas Mishpatim, are being formulated, I should say, right after Matan Torah. And that Gosha, the emphasis here on Ve'ele, is they were also given at our scene. I don't think that Ela Mishpatim, this already comes from ethics and culture and the mores and the traditions of society, what man has developed through human logic. No, this was all given at our Sinai. And if you look in the Sfas Emes for Parshas Mishpatim, he has a whole presentation on Mar Rishonu Misinai, Af Elu Misinai. He writes, Af Elu Mitzos Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And when the Torah says at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Ki HaMishpat Le'Elokim Hu, it's referring to Mishpatim Sichliim. But Le'Elokim Hu, the source is from God. The Pasuk in Tehillim Hashem owes Li'amo Yitein. The oz here is a reference to Mishpatim and Dinim Sichliim. And what's the purpose of them? Hashem Yivarech Hasama B'Shalom, to create peace amongst men. And Hashem owes Li'amo Yitein, the source for these logical rules, ethical rules, and Dinim, the purpose of which is Shalom, that was given Hashem owes Li'amo Yitein by Hashem as well. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu says in Dvarim Dalid, Re'ei Limadati Eschem Chukim U'Mishpatim. Chukim refers to the ritual laws that we don't necessarily understand the logic. U'Mishpatim are the logical mitzvahs. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kasher Tzivani Hashem Elokai. They all come, the source is the mitzvah of Hashem. And when the Chacham in the Manish Tana on Leil HaSeder asks, Ma ha'edus v'chukim v'mishpatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem, he adds the emphasis on mishpatim together with edos v'chukim, because even mishpatim is kasher tziva Hashem Elokeichem eschem Elokeinu eschem. And the Gemara at the end of Masechta Makis, HaKadosh Baruch wanted to be Mezakeh Klal Yisrael, to give them as many opportunities and merits as possible, L'fichach hirbolem Torah u'mitzvos. And the ribuy of Torah u'mitzvos that Hashem gave us includes also mitzvos sichlios, what we call Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And we receive schar for them, even though perhaps one could argue we would have fulfilled them in any event, but we were commanded to fulfill them. And we fulfill them because we were commanded. And the principle of mitzvos tzrichos kavana, which requires a person when he does a mitzvah to do so out of the motivation of l'shem shamayim, that principle applies equally well to mitzvos bein adam l'chaveiro. As David says in Tehillim, Ashrei smimei derech aholchim b'toras Hashem, and then he adds, Af lo palu avla, Toras Hashem, number one is the mitzvos bein adam l'makom, number two, lo palu avla, is a reference to the laws of Musar and the mitzvos of bein adam l'chaveiro, b'drach avalachu, we go in his derech. You know, a person gets onto a bus and he pays the bus driver, he should keep in mind that he's fulfilling many mitzvos bein adam l'chaveiro. He's paying schar to a worker, and he's paying and not stealing. All this he should have in mind. And that's what the Ramban emphasizes at the beginning of Parshas Ekev, when the Torah says, "Vayakev tishmune samishpatim, v'shamar Hashem alokecha chos habris v'sachesed." The emphasis in Ekev is mishpatim. These are mishpatim that are sichliim, that are logical, and yet v'shamar Hashem alokecha chos habris v'sachesed, Hashem will bestow upon you all the schar and all the merits, because you have fulfilled the mishpatim. Mishpatim, no less than chukim, have to be seen and defined and related to as mitzvot shel Hashem. They require the same amount of shmirah with the same kavana and an appreciation and recognition that the source for these mitzvot is Hashem. In fact, I heard many, many times from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik that if you rely on man's logic for ethical law, he'll always find some sort of logical justification to make exceptions to that law. Classical case, of course, is euthanasia. Maybe we should put a person to sleep, I mean for good, because he's suffering. And there are those today who advocate in favor of that, mercy killing, etc. But we have certain chukim and mishpatim where the mishpat is a chok, the chok is a mishpat, the logical underpinnings are speculative, and they remain outside of the realm of halacha. Halacha is a discipline that's self-contained, has its own laws and rules, and once the halacha is defined, once it is codified, it's not to be bent out of shape with all sorts of exceptions based on seichel. Even the mishpatim, so-called sichliim, are in effect chukim. They are absolute rules that are legislated by the Torah, legislated by Hashem. And when the Torah says, v'alachta b'drachav, which is at the end of the Chumash, and the Gemara in Sota and in Shabbos derives from this mitzvah, mahu rachum v'chanun af atokein, and you might say, well, these are actually moral and ethical commands, to be a rachum, to be a chanun. And if you take a look in the Rambam, in his Sefer Mitzvos, when he enumerates this mitzvah of v'alachta b'drachav, he says the attitude towards these mitzvos of ma'u rachum, etc., is not that, you know, I might do it logically. Should I be cruel to someone? But no. Ma esev ha'avi shebashamayim gazar alai. This is famous in the Shmona Prakim of the Rambam, that a person should fulfill the mitzvos because of the divine decree. Yesh l'kayim k'tzivri Hashem. And if you look at the introduction of the Bar Tanura to Masechta Avos on the mission of Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, says the Rav, Omer ani l'fisha Masechta zu enim yusedes al pi mitzvah mi mitzvah Torah k'shar Masechta sheva Mishnah ela kula musarim umidos. When you learn Masechta Avos, you're learning Masechta Midos, about the attributes and the behavior patterns based on ethical teachings, Beinonim L'Chaveiro. And you ask yourself the question, B'chach Me'olam Gam Ken Chibru Sfarim? You might ask, but there are many ethical works that were authored by the nations of the world. B'chach Me'olam? Those, he says, are kemoshim tziu milibam. Those were inventions of the human heart. B'darkei ha-musar, ketzel l'snayeg. Our Tana goes out of its way, out of his way to open up this Masechta Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai. Lomar lecha shamidos v'amusarim shebezu ha-masechta lo badu osom chachmei ha-mishnah milibam. This is not a corresponding mirror image, a parallel to the road and the journey of Chachmei Olam, These are not chachamim who are studying ethics as a philosophical work. Badu milibam. No. The Mishnah says Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Dafka here is where the Mishnah has to emphasize Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. In other mitzvos, other Mishnahs, you don't find that here in Avos. To lafuki, so that we shouldn't get the misimpression and draw the wrong conclusion that our chachamim were badu miliban, they came up with this ethical system on their own. No, Moshe kibel Torah miSinai. Even the midos and the musarim of this masechta were not some sort of invention, some sort of literature that's authored by the chachmei Mishnah Milibam. No, they were set at Sinai. And I just want to mention in passing that I heard from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik that there is one mistake here, in his opinion, in Rav Avadya Miatnura. He writes, Lefi, Shemesechta Zur Einam Yusetis Alpi Mitzvah Mi Mitzvah Satorah Kishar Mesechta Shememishnah. If you take him literally, that's not true. Mesechta Avos is an analysis of one particular mitzvah, and that is Ve'olachta Bidrachav. All of the midos and the musarim of Masechta Avos are an answer to one single mitzvah, one question: how do we fulfill the Olachta Midrachav? And that's what the Chachmei Mishnah, the Tanoim, are teaching us. Perhaps you can fit it into Rav Mibar Tanur. You'll have to reinterpret his words. Not that Einam Yusedes al Mitzvah mi Mitzvah Torah. He means Einam Yusedes b'meforash. In other words, we're not taking the pasuk in Chumash, the mitzvah of Ve'olachta Bidrachav, and squeezing it out the way we do in other verses in the Torah that clearly legislate X, Y, and Z. The mitzvah of Ve'olachta Bidrachav is very general. It's sort of all-encompassing. It's amorphous. And the Chachamim cannot base too much on the pasuk itself. Their embellishment and their expansion, their analysis of this mitzvah is not the way they do it in other mitzvahs. But at the end of the day, the point of the Bar Tanura is excellent, is fundamental, that Masechta Avos of Midos and Musarim is no less dependent and reflective of a Masoras HaTorah that dates back to our Sinai than any other Masechta in Shas, than any hardcore Chukim, Viedus, and so forth and so on. Back in the parasha of Kabbalah HaTorah, we find Nasa V'Nishma, and this is emphasized here at the end of Parashas Mishpatim, Kol Asher Dibra Hashem Nasa V'Nishma. The Ha'emek Dover, the Netziv, has a very unique insight, a new interpretation to Nasa V'Nishma. He writes that with regard to mitzvahs bein adam l'makom, between man and God, so that division, that section of mitzvos, is hayu mechudosh lehem. That was totally new to them. The ritual laws, the ma'ase mitzvos, the ceremonial laws, the olav, and on this section of mitzvos, amru, they declared naseh. However, the mitzvos of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, the people of Israel were careful about them even before Torah was given, because the Gemara in Yevamos describes and defines the nature of the Jew as Rachmanim V'Gomlei Chasadim. They didn't say Naseh, because they'd already fulfilled these mitzvos. El Nishma, says the Ha'emek Dover, what's the Nishma with regard to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro? It's Lasosan L'Shma Kitzivu Yaelion. Nishma means we will obey, we will observe, because you have commanded, you have mandated and legislated these requirements of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. Beautiful interpretation of the Pasuk Nasa V'Nishma. And a classical case of what we call an ethical universal principle in the Torah mitzvah, which is Sichlis, would be the mitzvah of Kibud Av, which of course the sugya in Kiddushin, Daf Lamed Aleph. And they asked Rabbi Eliezer, How far does a person have to go in fulfilling the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em? And he told them, go out and study the case of Dovid ben Nissina. Watch him. He was an Oved Kochavim. And look at his respect, his honor for his father. The Chachamim knew that Dovid ben Nissina, or more precisely Nissina, his father had in his possession precious stones, unique stones, and they, the Chacham, wanted to purchase those stones for the ephod that was worn, the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol. They're willing to pay 600,000 schar, but the only problem is that the avanim were locked up and the key was under Nissina, the father of Dama's head, and he was sleeping, and Dama didn't want to wake up his father. I can't do it. And the Gemara goes on to tell us that a year later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the reward to Dama and Nissina, and amongst the cows that were born in his Eder was a Paraduma. And the Chachamim came in and they said, you know, we want to purchase this Paraduma. It's absolutely precious for us. And Dama's response was, I know I can ask you any amount of money in the world. The sky's the limit. All I'm asking for you, from you, is the same Shishim Ribu Schar that I lost because of Kibud Av when I didn't want to wake him up for the Avonim of the Ephod. And Rabbi Chanina adds a comment. He says, Dama ben Nissina doesn't have the Chiv, the mitzvah of Kibud Av Va'em. He's an Eina Mitzvah V'Yoseh. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestowed upon him tremendous reward. Is Mitzvah V'Yoseh. We who have the command of Kibud Av Va'em, Alachas Kama V'Kama. And once again, emphasizing the Yesoda Yesodos that we saw in the Ramban at the beginning of Akev, that Es HaMishpatim V'Shomer Hashem Al Kechel Cho Es HaBris V'Es HaChesed. If we're meticulous about the fulfillment of Mishpatim, of the logical mitzvos, then we will receive schar. And we could be no less careful about the mitzvos Beinon L'Chavero, even though they're logical, than we are in our fulfillment and meticulous dedication to the mitzvos Beinodom L'Mokom. Now, there's a famous introduction to Masechta Brachos that dates back to the period of the Gaonim, and it was authored by Rav Nissim Gaon. And Rav Nissim Gaon is of the opinion that even though the Gemara Chazal speak about Sheva Mitzos B'nei Noach, nevertheless in truth, a Ben Noach is commanded in all Mitzos Sichlios. Anything that's logical, anything, any rule of ethics that evolves from the understanding of the heart. And Kibud Av V'Em is therefore included therein. And if you take a look at the pasuk in Yechezkel, a very famous pasuk that describes the reason why Sodom was destroyed, why the divine decree was to destroy Sodom, it's Al Shelo Hichziku Biyad Aniyim. And the question is, well, tzedakah, to give charity to an Ani, is not one of the Sheva Mitzvos. But the answer is, it's included, not like the other Sheva Mitzvos as Mitzvah V'Yoseh, but it's included under Eina Mitzvah V'Yoseh. And the Eina Mitzvah V'Yoseh is the case of a Nachri, of a non-Jew, who fulfills a mitzvah, L'Shem Shamayim, the way it was given, the way it was mandated by God, and Kibud Av V'Em is included insofar as it's sichlis. So Dama ben Nissina understood with his intuitive logic that Kibud Av is sichlis, it's a moral imperative, and he fulfills it L'Shem Shamayim as if it was one of the, as if it was the eighth of the Mitzvos B'nei Noach, L'Shem Shamayim Kitzivui Elyon, and therefore he gets a great reward, the Paraduma, to teach us that just like the Parah Adum is a chukah, and we don't understand its logic, there's no difference between that and Kibud Avayim, where we do intuit its logic. There's no difference between chukah and mishpatim, and therefore both are ola bekana echad. Mitzvos beinonim l'chavero, together with mitzvos beinonim l'makom. And you know, there's a great work by the Chafetz Chaim called Avas Chesed, and the Netziv writes a letter of approbation, Haskama, to the Sefer Avas Chesed, and he writes that if this mitzvah would be defined as a mitzvah sichlis, Avas Chesed meaning the love of Chesed would just be nothing more than a mitzvah sichlis, he says, a ger would be chayev in kibud av va'em da'oraisa, even though his parents are not Jewish. Why? Because from a perspective of sichlis, of logic, his biological parents brought him into this world. So why is it that a ger, according to the strict halacha, is chayev in kibud aviv v'imo midrabanan? Why not view it as a mitzvah sichlis, that he should respect his biological parents, and that should engender a mitzvah d'oraisa? And we only find, as we said before, that a ger, this is the Rambam in Hilchos Maamar Perkei, is obligated to respect his non-Jewish parents on a derabbanan level. And the answer is because v'yela mishpatim, the extra vav, that we define the mishpatim, even though the logic, within the framework of all the mitzvahs misinai, and all the rules and regulations that apply to all the mitzvahs we see tonight apply to mitzvahs beinonim l'makom as well. And within the context of gerus, of Dini Yisrael, kibud av va'em does not apply to one's biological parents. And therefore, for example, if a Jewish woman has relations with a non-Jewish man, and they have a son, his obligation to his mother in Kovod is greater than that of his obligation to his biological father. Because that's how the laws work from our Sinai. You and I might say, well, based on sichlis, on logic and ethics, the same level of obligation that this child, this son, has to his mother, he should have to his father, even though his father's not Jewish. But the answer is Vav Mosif Al Inyan Rishon. The mitzvos beinonim l'chavero, like Kibud Av V'Em, are given in our Sinai. They take on a different kind of set of rules and regulations, dafka, because they're given in our Sinai. So again, even though we said before that it could be that a guy has more than Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, that we expect him to live up to Mitzvot Sichlios, Hanovos Me'avonis Halev, and Kibud Av V'Em is included in them, but nevertheless, that's not a Chiyuv, that's not a Mitzvah like the other seven Mitzvos, that's an Eino Mitzvah V'Yoseh. And the Netziv says that when we learn the Sefer Avas Chesed, we should realize that all the laws of Chesed are given at our Sinai. And therefore, the din of respecting a non-Jewish parent in the case of a Jew, his kibud av va'em towards a non-Jewish but biological parent would be, at best, an eina mitzuvah v'yoseh. It would not come under the technical d'oraisa gedarim of kibud av va'em, because biological parenthood is not enough. The yahrzeit of Rabbi Yisrael Salant, the father of the Musar movement, is on the 25th of Shvat. And it almost always coincides with Parshas Mishpatim. Because
l'chidish, the innovation and the teaching of Rabbi Yisrael in Musar, was that we have to have the same level of absolute commitment and meticulous care about fulfilling the mitzvahs b'enonim l'chaveru as we do with regard to the mitzvahs b'enonim l'makom. You know, you watch people davening in the shul, and they're so careful about every single halacha, and they read Kriyat Shema with all the dikdukim, and they make sure not to walk in front of someone who's davening, etc., etc., etc. Are they as careful, asks Rabbi Yisrael, when it comes to the mitzvos bein adam lechavero, about how to treat their friends? And if you remember, Rashi says something important, as he always does, in the parasha of Rivka, of finding Rivka as a mate for Yitzchak. The pasuk says Ushnei tzmidim al yodea, says Rashi remez l'shtei luchos mitzumadim asor zav mishkolam remez l'aser sadibro shabayim. Rashi wants to tell us that on the one hand there are shtei luchos, half of which represent Beinon l'makom, the other half Beinon l'chavero, but at the same time the shnei tzmidim, there's asor zav, there's the aser sadibro as one entity, and we cannot separate between the mitzvos beinonim l'makom on the one hand and lo sirtzach, lo sachmod, etc. on the other hand. And that's what Rashi emphasizes when he says l'shtei luchos mitzumadim. Mitzumadim means they're attached and they're equal. There's no difference between the first set of dibros on the right side tablet and the second set of dibros on the left. And there was a story that was told about one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael, who was known to be a man of means. He was dedicated particularly to Shabbos. And he was begging his Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael, to please come to him for a Suda Shabbos. And basically, he wanted to demonstrate to Rabbi Yisrael in front of his eyes and be proud of all his special hanhagos at his table on Shabbos, the shiros, the zmiros, the nigunim, the divrei Torah, the special foods that they would eat, and wonderful tasting foods. And Rabbi Yisrael kept avoiding it, until finally he couldn't say no anymore. But Rabbi Yisrael insisted on one condition, and that is that he himself, Rabbi Yisrael, would be the manig, he would be in control, call the shots, for how the Shulchan Shabbos, the Shabbos table, should be, you know, how we should behave and experience the Shabbos around the table. And what could a Talmud want more than that? To have his Rebbe, Rabbi Yisrael, the great Rabbi Yisrael Misalant, to come to his house for a Shabbos meal and teach the ways of Hashem. This would be another way of enhancing his Shabbos day by learning from Rabbi Yisrael, who would now be minding the Shulchan Shabbos. And the Balabas, this host, went over to the Ozeres Bayis. No, he had a maidservant who worked in the kitchen, and he was Mazari's heart. He said, this is a special, special meal. Please prepare the Yad Rechava as much as you can, all the delicacies. Please set up the table as beautifully as you can. It's not just L'Kovet Shabbos, as it is every Friday night, but now it's L'Kovet Rabbo as well. And after davening, the two went home, the host with Rabbi Yisrael, and Rabbi Yisrael sang Shalom Aleichem Bimehirus, with speed. Instead of reciting it three times over, he recited it once. There were parts of Shalom Aleichem that he actually skipped. He did what he absolutely had to do, the barest minimum. He recited Kiddush and was motzi everyone in Kiddush, immediately washed his hands, cut the challah, gave everyone exactly what they needed from the Lechem Mishnah, asked if they could bring the fish, And the Balabais hinted to Rabbi Yisrael that now's the time to sing Zmiris. But Rabbi Yisrael's Rebbe insisted that after they eat the fish, to bring out the soup. And immediately when he finished the soup, he asked for the meat. Then the Balabais began reading a pasuk from the Parsha Shavua in order to give it Dvar Torah. And Rabbi Yisrael said, no, first we have to have dessert, if there is dessert. And the Balabas said, you're asking if there's dessert. There are many, many choices for dessert. So Rabbi Yisrael said, bring them all out. And they ate. And Rabbi Yisrael asked, is there anything else, you know, that has to come out of the kitchen? And this Misharetes, you know, the Vashelis, the cook, immediately answered, that's it. She already brought out to the table everything. The Balabais looked at his clock, his watch, and he was very disappointed. It was so early, and they've already finished the meal. There was no piyut, there was no divrei Torah, there was no shira, there was nothing. And he looked to his Rebbe and he says, now can we sing? Can we darshan? And Rebbe said to his student, to the host, yeah, now's the time we can do everything you like. But first, I want to apologize to your Ozeret. Can you please call her out? She stood at the entranceway to the kitchen. And Rabbi Yisrael turns to her. And he says, please, forgive me. The food was so tasty. Ah, she was radiating. I can imagine, said Rabbi Yisrael, how much work you put in for the day, for the whole day, without stop, in order to present the most beautiful delicacies and the tasty foods that you did. And you probably wanted to rest a little bit between the first course and the second course and the second and the third, and yet I rushed you so much, I didn't even give you a chance to regain your energies. Please forgive me. She heard his compliments, and she too responded with a compliment. She said to Rabbi Yisrael, what were you thinking? Everything that you said, it's just the opposite is true. I have a home. I have a husband. I have a family. Every Shabbos, I come back home, and my husband, who came back from shul so many hours ago, is waiting for me until the middle of the night, and I'm so exhausted that when he recites Kiddush, I fall asleep at the table. But now, in the schus of the Rav, I will surprise him and come home early. How happy will he be? How happy will I be? How happy will my family be? And Rabbi Yisrael turns to his Talmud and he says, do you see? This is what I wanted to show you. It's beautiful, it's wonderful to sing Shiras and Zmiros. Divrei Torah? Invaluable. There's no greater Tainug Shabbos than that. But not on the cheshbon of the Ozeret, even if she's being paid. And we see here the Ve'ele HaMishpatim, that even the logical mitzvahs have to be Misinai. We have to think about them. The Torah says, Lo itir de bo befarach, with regard to an Eved, how much more so with regard to a Jewish woman of Alabasta. With all the respect to Zmiros, they're very chashiv, but they're not Doraisa. But Lo sir de bo befarach, said Rabbi Yisrael, that's Doraisa. And not only that, we can apply that to ourselves, to help out the Balat Bayis, to clean off the table. All this is part of the mitzvah of Lo sir de bo befarach. All this is derived from the Vav of the Ele HaMishpatim. I want to share with you an insight of the Vigadita, which he heard from Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Lubchinsky, who was the Mashgiach in Baranovich Yeshiva, who was married to the daughter of the Altar of the Vardik, and he was killed, of course, by the Nazis. And he said that it's not true that Parshas Yisro finishes up with the Tzivuyim of Bein Olam LaMakom
and Parshas Mishpatim opens up with the Tzivuyim of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, and they're both Misinai. There's something much more than that. Parshas Yisro comes to its conclusion with Lo Sasun Iti Elohei Kesef. And this means, according to Chazal, that the Torah is warning us about the Kruvim that were in the Mishkan. And they were constructed and created Lamod Iti, so that man could come close to Hashem in the Mishkan. They should not be made of Kesef, of silver. And the Lashon of Chazal, Shim Shinisem Lasel Shel Kesef, Hareim Lefonai Kelohus. The Torah says, Elohei Zav Lo Sasulahem. This is an Azhara, that you're not allowed to add to the Kruvim more than two. If you make four, it's like Elohei Zav. And you're not allowed to make them out of Kesef. Now, let's try to be smart people. And let's try to figure out, the Kruvim have to be made of Zahav, of gold. That's our requirement. If they're made of Kesef, they have the same status of Avodah Zarah. And they're included under the law of Lo Sasun Iti Elohei Kesef. But why two and not four? Obviously, these are Sisrei Torah. These are beyond human comprehension. These are Chukim. But the Torah now opens up the parasha by saying, V'eila mishpata shatosim lifnei mosif al rishonim. The Torah is teaching us here that Chukim, you understand with regard to Chukim, that you don't even have an introduction, you don't even have some sort of way or method of understanding these Chukim. It's simply a divine decree. And the Mishpatim, which you think you understand that reasoning, you should know that no creature can ever understand the depths of meaning of the Creator. And our understanding of the Mishpatim doesn't even reach a drop in the ocean of what the true depth, the true meaning of these divine commands are. If we fulfill these Mishpatim because of our understanding, we are really lowering these mitzvos. We are really damaging them. We have to do them and fulfill them like the Chukim, like the Tzivuyim of Hashem. The V'ele, the Vav Mosav Al Inyan Rishon, is a reference back to that Lav at the end of Parashas Yisro, which defies human comprehension. Lo Sasun Iti Elohei Kesef, as an Azhar on the Kruvim, that the Kruvim themselves, if we make a change and we deviate from the way the Torah commanded us to make the Kruvim, we make them Shel Kesef instead of Zav, we make four of them instead of two of them. This is equivalent to Avodah Zarah. Do we understand this? Obviously, there are deeper meanings here. But that has to be our attitude towards Mishpatim. That whatever we are capable of comprehending, it's only scratching the surface. We don't understand and appreciate the deeper meanings. And he gives a mashal. A person wants to heat up his house on a very cold winter day. He places the logs of wood into the campfire, but he forgets to close the windows. And obviously, the freezing cold is going to penetrate through the open windows, and there was no point to his fanning the flames of the campfire. And in the Nimshal, a person who fulfills mitzvah sichlios, he must know that they came from Sinai. If he thinks that he understands them and he fulfills them because of the explanations and the rationalizations that he offers, he's really limiting and lowering the meaning of those mitzvahs. It's like trying to heat up a house when the windows are open. He wants the fire of the mitzvos to heat him up, to uplift him and inspire him, but he's leaving open the windows because he's lowering the significance and the value of the mitzvos by giving it his own interpretation, his intellectual speculation. And in truth, there are two different points here. Number one, it's impossible for us to understand the reason for the mitzvahs, even those that seem at the surface to be understood. As the Shalosh says in his introduction, Im Yichya Elef Shonim Pa'amayim, will live 2,000 years, Lo Yalev Yagil Takas Mitzvahachas Al Omka V'Shorsha V'Shorsha, he will never reach even the beginning of understanding the mitzvah in its depth, in its roots. Or as the Nefesh Chaim puts it, at the beginning of Nefesh HaChaim, Ki tamei ha-mitzvos ha-tachlisam lo nizgalu adayin l'shum adam ba'olam v'af le-Moshe Rabbeinu l'vasholam, even Moshe Rabbeinu, who reached the Chamishim Shari Bina, or at least close to it, but nevertheless, he the last one, he got the 49th, but not the 50th. The only one who reached the 50th was Adam HaRishon Kodem L'Chet. And who are Yayin HaMeshumer Banovim Mishesh Yisimei Bereishis, that the Tamei HaMitzvos are really reserved from the time of creation as wine that's being preserved and dedicated for the Tzadikim Lasid Lavo, reserved for the Tzadikim at the end of time. And that light that was created on the first day of creation was a spiritual supernal light through which Adam HaRishon was able to see from the beginning of the universe to the end of the universe. And the Baal HaTanya writes in his Igeres HaKodesh, Ki tamei mitzvos lo nizgalu, heim lamala mei sechel v'avana. He says, and even when there is a little bit of an understanding of the mitzvah that was revealed, some tam, which we think we understand, l'chora, but that's not the tam sofi, that's not the deeper meaning. He writes, Mutznoyim bo, inherently concealed in the mitzvahs, apnimios, vitalumos, chachma shalamala miseichel v'avona, man doesn't have the ability to comprehend the depths and the pnim of the concealed meanings of these mitzvahs. So that's number one. Try as hard as we can to rationalize the mitzvahs. We'll never understand them fully because there are layers of deep meaning behind them. But the second point is no less important, and that is that in any event, we should never fulfill the mitzvahs, even if we think we understand them, ad tachlisa, but not to fulfill the mitzvahs because of our understanding, because of our rational tfisa, but rather kemitzvos hamelech, because the king has commanded us. And when we say nasa v'nishma, and of course Chazal emphasized that nasa comes before nishma, it means nasa, we do the mitzvos because of the gzeres melech. And nishma means we can hear the mitzvos, we can understand them, but that comes secondary. The Maral says that kof aleim har kegigis in Matan Torah is meant to convey to us, to teach us, that no matter what we think we understand about the meaning of the mitzvos, we fulfill them b'kfiya, as kof aleim har kegigis. That has to be our attitude, that has to be our motivation. And therefore the Mishnah establishes at the end of Brachos that a person who says al kan tzipar yagir rachamecha, he thinks he understands the midos of HaKadosh Baruch that justify this mitzvah of kan tzipar, is mishaskin also. And why is that? The Gemara says, because he's osa mitzvosav midosav shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu rachmim ve'enam el gzeros. We don't fulfill the mitzvos because of their rational explanations, even if we find them justified and satisfying, but rather the gzeros. And the Tzam Sofer in Bamidbar, in the Pasuk Zos Chukas HaTorah, says that all the mitzvos of the Torah, even the chukim and the mishpatim, are all chukos. They're all begetter chukah, they're mitzvos hamelech, they are the absolute mandate of the king. Avas olam beis Yisrael amcha ahav to Torah mitzvos chukim u'mishpatim o sonali madat al kein asiyah puchukecha. Even the mishpatim we learn as chukim, as exeris melech. And the Gemara tells us in Chulin on the pasuk Adam u'behema toshia Hashem ela b'nei Adam shem arumim b'das u'mesimim atzmim kibehema. They may be brilliant, but when it comes to fulfilling the mitzvah of Hashem, they compare themselves to a behemoth. The behemoth follows in the orders of its master. Mashcheni acharecha narutza, the pasuk says in Shir Hashirim. We are nimshachim acharecha kibehemoth, just like the behemoth is nimsheches acharei Adona, says the Beis Halevi, that you could be kone a behemoth, you could acquire possession of a behemoth b'meshicha, which is korel of iba in the Gemara. Which means you call the animal and it comes. An eved, you can't be kona with that. Because at the end of the day, says the Beis Halevi, when you call out to the eved and he comes, he does it because he made a decision. He's an intellectual being. Our asiya, when we fulfill the will of Hashem, we should not do it like avadim who make that decision, but adam ubehema, misimim atzvam kibehema, like a behema who comes simply because of the will of its master and the call, the summon of its master. That's how we fulfill the mitzvah Hashem. And the pasuk in Tilm says, Yodei Hashem yimei smimim, and Chazal say in the Medrash, Ki osa egla tmima, Shebal lekras balem vatelas havanosa miponov. This young calf that comes betmimus, without trying to outthink and without trying to philosophize, it's a total beetle of das in front of balem. And here we want to conclude with a story. There was a scientist who came to visit a yeshiva, and he presented himself as a member of the staff of the Technion, which is perhaps the greatest scientific center in Israel. And it was very nice that he came to the yeshiva, but the Talmidim found out that he came in order to enter into a vikuach, some sort of a debate. And the Talmidim immediately asked him, "What do you want to debate?" And he said, "Religion, of course. What else?" So they asked this scientist, "What field are you in?" And he told them that he was in the field of astrophysics, something that has to do with airplanes and the way they fly. And that was his specialty. "So let me ask you a question," they said to him. "Can we debate you in that area, in that very specific area?" He said, "That wouldn't be serious." "Why not?" "Because you don't have the basic concepts." "So then, if that be the case, we object. You're coming here to argue with us about Torah, about the Jewish religion. Maybe it would be make it more sense if you would take the time to learn the basics and the concepts that underlie the Torah before you try to criticize it. Treat it like a science, like you would treat your own discipline." And he laughed and he said, "But religion is not a science." So the man said, "Look, in astrophysics you have no concepts. I have some concepts about your religion." So they asked him, "What? Do you know about the holidays?" He says, "For sure." "What concept do you have?" "You know that on Purim we dress up. On Hanukkah we eat donuts. On Pesach we steal the afikomen. And on Shabbos we throw stones, right? That's what you know. Maybe you should sit down and learn for a year or two or three, and then we could debate it. You don't know beans about our religion or about our holidays." In truth, he accepted what we said, but he really needs more than just 2 or 3 years, and more than just 25 years or 250 years.
As the Netziv says, sorry, as the Shalosh says, "Im yichya elef shonim pamayim lo yalev yagil l'tachlus mitzvah achas adom kavishorshe v'shorish rosha." So even us studying Torah in the yeshiva, how much do we know about the basics? We don't live for 2,000 years, and even if we did and studied Torah for 2,000 years, we still wouldn't come to the toenails of understanding the depths of the mitzvahs of the Torah and the religion of Hashem. You want to go argue about religion? Go up to Hashem and get an argument with God. And, you know, you have the attitude of people who say, let's make compromises. You know, Shabbos will be flexible. You know, there's the story of a maskil who started saying to the Malbim, maybe the rabbi could find a way of allowing me to smoke on Shabbos. And the Malbim said, you know what? I think I could be matir you to smoke b'shinui, with a strange way of doing it. So the maskil asked him, what do you mean? He says, put the fire into your mouth. And basically, that's what we have to answer for those who want to compromise about Shmiras HaMitzvahs. We have to tell them, look, the Shabbos is not yours, it's not mine. I'm not authorized to offer any sort of compromises. But what I am willing to do is to daven for you, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring you up to Him, and you could talk directly to Him and ask Him all your questions and come up with all your psharas and all your compromises. So when do you want the appointment? That's what we have to say to these people. Our understanding of the Torah is that the Torah is above our comprehension. It's much deeper than we could ever imagine. And our attitude towards the Mishpatim has to be the same as our attitude towards the Chukim, our meticulous dedication and loyalty to fulfill and observe the Mishpatim has to be the same as the Chukim. And Amir Hashem, if we accept the entire Luchos, both this and that, the Shnei Tzmidim, as Rashi says, Luchos Mitzumadim, then we know we're on the right path to be Ovdei Hashem, to be true servants, to fulfill, as the Beis HaLevi says, is Mesimim Atzmam Kibehema, that we accept upon ourselves the Ratzon Hashem, we are dedicated, we are loyal, how much we understand, how much we speculate, all that is irrelevant. We are Mevatel our Havana, our understanding in front of the Ribono Shel Olam. And perhaps if there's any parasha in the Torah that really symbolizes this, it's the parasha of the Akedah. Our dedication to Hashem is to suspend our rationality, to accept the mitzvahs, fulfill them as the decrees of the Melech, and if we do so, we'll be zochet to great things, to the ultimate R of the Tamei HaMitzvahs that will be revealed to that Tzadikim, Leosid Lovo, Keni Ratzon Amen.